Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. So today we're going to start getting into some of the issues and concerns and thoughts that we have about this crisis. Is that fair to say? Crisis?
Trauma.
Trauma, yeah. Yeah. Right. Of mass shootings and school shootings and things. And as we mentioned in yesterday's podcast, there are a lot of issues associated with this phenomenon.
Right. Every time one of these mass shootings occur, and they occur fairly regularly now.
Much more regularly than I think people think.
Right, right. Because most of them don't get reported.
Right.
There are hundreds of these every year, mm-hmm. but only a few get reported. The most outstanding, I guess. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that later in the week. But yes, these sadly recurring mm-hmm. traumas. And every time one occurs, you have the same vocabulary right. gets repeated. Mm-hmm. The same words come mm-hmm. up. Our thoughts and prayers are with the victims.
Right.
We have to have more gun control. We have to provide. We have to make places more safer. Mm-hmm. So it's these same sort of buzzwords
right.
that seem to percolate to the surface each time one of these things happen. The vocabulary remains the same,
mm-hmm.
and so does the inaction.
Right.
And I think that's what this particular one has a different feel. And I don't know whether it's because we're in Florida mm-hmm. and we're closer to it, but we were close to the Pulse nightclub shooting.
Right.
We're closer, in fact, mm-hmm. it was in Orlando. This is somehow has a different feel to it. People are using a little different vocabulary. It's a little more anger. There's a little more impatience mm-hmm. because nothing is being done.
Right.
So it's the same vocabulary. But I think people are raising the question, why is nothing being done about this?
Right. Okay. Yeah, and so as we promised, we're going to sort of highlight a different issue each day. And we're starting out the discussion with the phrase gun control.
Right. That's one of those words.
Shutter quotes for right. gun control.
We have to have more gun control.
Right.
Every time this happens, people talk about having gun control.
Right.
So we want to talk about, this is one of, we said yesterday, it's a complex issue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and there are many facets,
right.
many aspects of this that have to be explored. One of those aspects of this problem is gun control.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to spend some time, a few minutes talking about that. But I think that, you know, many of you who listen to the podcast may be a little bit surprised in the direction that we're going to go with it because, mm-hmm. To be honest, the conversation about gun control, is, you know, based upon history, fruitless. It doesn't get us anywhere.
No.
And it's a, you used the phrase buzzword a few minutes ago. It is very much so a buzzword because what we do is we make these statements about gun control, but there's a reality that we're resisting. And the reality is that we're not going to get rid of all the guns. That we're not going right. to, there's not going to be a ban on all guns.
No.
There's not going to be a law that says that everybody should have a gun. You know, those two extremes are not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see a time when everybody has a gun,
right.
where we just walk around like it's the Wild West,
right.
and everybody has a holster strapped
right.
to their hip. I that's not going to happen. We're
right.
not. We are not going to arm 300 million, 100 million people.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to arm teachers.
Right.
I just don't think. I don't think that's realistic.
Right.
Okay. Nor do I think it's realistic to get rid of guns. Prohibition has never worked.
Right.
No matter what we prohibit, whether
right.
it's alcohol or marijuana, we prohibit marijuana.
Right.
Is it effective? No.
Right.
So
yeah, we can't even do research on marijuana because of the classification of it. But
right.
yet, you go into any high school, you go into any.
If you want marijuana, just let us. You know, let any kid know. They can. Every teenager in the country knows where to get it.
Yeah.
You know. So these prohibitions don't work, and they're not going to work with guns any more than they work with marijuana, methamphetamine, alcohol, or anything else.
Right.
You know, we have prohibitions against teenagers smoking.
Right.
But teenagers smoke.
Right.
There's always a way
right.
to find it.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be any different. So the extreme of we shouldn't have guns is mm-hmm. is a non-starter. I mean, that's
right.
not going anywhere. And the other extreme, everybody should have guns, is a non-starter.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
And what I think happens is that when we put the focus on this idea of gun control, we create these poles,
these
polar opposites,
right. mm-hmm.
and everyone gets so dug in
mm-hmm.
in their individual camps
right.
that then nothing can happen.
Right.
Because there's no compromise with those two perspectives.
And what we're going to be saying throughout the week is that with each aspect of this complex situation, whether it's gun control or safety
mm-hmm.
or... The answer lies somewhere between the extremes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we don't want to discuss the extremes. There's no point in discussing the extremes because the
right.
solution doesn't reside at the extremes. The solution is going to reside somewhere between those two.
Right.
We don't know where. But it's going to reside somewhere between those two.
Right. And another issue in using the idea mm-hmm. or focusing on the idea of gun control from my perspective, and you and I were having this discussion a little while ago before we started recording, is the issue of the statistics,
right.
the data.
Right.
And what is frustrating, as researchers,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've conducted a lot of research during our times at
right.
the university.
And we respect the process.
Right.
As trained scientists,
right.
we respect the research process.
Right. But the concern is that when we just look at statistics and we don't, you know, it's difficult to extrapolate certain things from statistics
right.
because
mm-hmm.
statistics are, by their very nature, limited.
Especially when you're researching humans.
Right.
If you're growing crops, you can control things.
Right.
If you're raising animals, you can control things.
Right.
But when you're working with humans, there are certain things you simply can't control.
Right. And, you know, so as we think about statistics and research,
mm-hmm.
you know, oftentimes, just as a quick example, we're usually talking about aggregate data.
Right.
Okay.
Average data. Right.
right.
Put
so
everything into a bin and...
Right. You're taking thousands of
mm-hmm.
examples.
Right.
You're putting it together and you're saying, oh, this tends to happen or that tends
right.
to happen. And it and that data, that those statistics, talk about the general trend.
Right.
But it doesn't talk about any specific person.
Right.
So you could have a person that has all the risk factors... but never do anything.
But never does anything.
You could right. have another person that has none of the risk factors, and then they will do something.
Shoots up a mall.
Or Las Vegas.
Or, right, right. He had none, as far as we know.
As far as we know.
Just because nobody knew him.
Right.
He was never under the mental health
mm-hmm.
or physical health system. So he never came to anybody's attention.
Right.
There were no warning signs.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the statistics are very difficult to interpret. And we have... you know, situations. And I'm sure that any of you who have been in a conversation with somebody at work or anywhere else about this whole gun control issue, depending on which camp they're in, they can use very similar data, very
right.
similar statistics
mm-hmm.
to make their points to demonstrate their
mm-hmm.
camp. And it's, again, you know, opposite camps, basically.
I ran into a wonderful study recently. And it said there's a correlation between the number of guns and the
mm-hmm.
number of mass shootings.
Right.
The more guns you have, the more mass shootings you have.
Right.
It's probably true. However, there are some countries that have as many guns. Country A has as many guns as country B,
mm-hmm.
but they have no mass shootings.
Right.
So... that's a good example of those
right.
statistics that, yeah, there's some correlation, but we don't
right.
know exactly what it is because you can use the same data to prove
mm-hmm.
2 points.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And you'll
it's not that one's wrong.
Right.
It's just that we don't know.
Right. And you see this done time and time and time again because, you know, in the 1950s,
mm-hmm.
there were more guns in more houses, or there were guns in more houses.
There were more gun owners.
Right.
Per capita
right.
in the 50s than there are today.
Right. And there were fewer mass shootings
right.
in the 50s. And so one camp will look at that and say, oh, well, you know, that's why we didn't have as many mm-hmm. mass shootings, because more people own guns.
Right.
But what happens, what's going on now is that while there are fewer gun owners now...
The number of gun owners has gone down.
Right. The number of guns have exponentially increased. And so each gun owner owns many more guns than they did in the 1950s. And so there's more guns in the community now than there were. And so... Again, you're looking at the same data, but you're going to interpret it very differently because, of course, the folks who say that we should get rid of guns are going to say, yeah, but look how many more guns are out there. And so if we didn't have so many guns out there, we wouldn't have as many mass shootings. So, again, and I love data. I love statistics. I love looking at that so that we can sort of make some impressions and create some ideas and strategies for dealing with these things. But when it comes to dealing with humans and when it comes to this particular issue, it's not going to get us where we're trying to go.
That's right. And there's another reason. The data are not very good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you and I look at these studies, that's exactly what we came up with. I showed you a study yesterday and you looked at it and said, yeah, but look at all this.
Right.
The data are incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
The data are flawed.
Right.
And one of the reasons they're flawed is because in the United States of America, we're not allowed to do research on this topic.
Right.
You mentioned earlier, we're not allowed to do research on marijuana because it's a Schedule 2 drug, which puts it in a category of no one's allowed to have it, okay, even though 23 states allow it. But we're not allowed to do research on it. So we didn't know. Much of the research we did on marijuana came from Israel because they were allowed. It's the same with guns. Since 1996, the Centers for Disease Control has not been permitted to do research on gun violence.
Right.
Okay? So, therefore, we don't really have good, reliable data.
Right.
On this whole gun issue.
Right. And absolutely. And so, because of that, we're left with this incomplete data.
Right.
And the way that it's used, what we call this phenomenon of the way that we're using data with the individual camps, when you're looking at the same data and interpreting it in different ways, we're referring to this construct called confirmatory bias.
Right.
Right. So what that means is that we're looking at the data and interpreting it in such a way that it confirms our beliefs.
The way I want it
to
be.
Yeah. Right. So I've already drawn my conclusions.
Right, that's right.
And so now I'm just looking for data to support my conclusions.
Right. That's right.
You know, I think that, you know, this is a bad idea, and so I'm going to interpret this data in such a way that it confirms the way that I feel. We do this with everything.
We do it with everything.
So it's not unique to the gun issue, but it's exactly what's happening.
Right. As scientists, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to pursue what we call the null hypothesis. In other words, we're supposed to be completely objective and say there is no difference.
Right.
There's nothing here. And that's called objectivity.
Right.
Okay. Well, we don't have that with gun.
Right.
We don't have that with this issue.
Right.
I don't think anybody in the country is neutral on the gun issue.
Mm-hmm.
Gun possession. I don't care what word you use. Gun possession, gun control, gun violence. Very few people are just neutral.
Right.
How can you be neutral given what happened, given mass shootings? You can't be neutral. So we look for statistics that support our position.
Right.
We're all guilty of that.
Mm-hmm.
So the first goal, I think, with gun control is let's at least start to do research so that we can generate enough information so that we can have a discussion.
Right.
Okay. Certainly, as far as gun control is concerned, I'm not sure that... I think there's a common... I always feel uncomfortable saying this. As researchers, we don't like to talk about, well, it's just logical, it's just common sense, okay, that you should do this. Because many times common sense proved to be wrong, okay? However, there's probably somewhere in the gun control argument that maybe assault weapons occupy a separate category.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that common sense would say there's a big difference between a shotgun used for hunting and an assault rifle used for fill in the blank.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe that would be a good place to start the discussion.
Right.
Let's just talk about assault rifles, not only because assault rifles are the weapon of choice,
right,
but because assault rifles are designed for a single purpose.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And I think that if we're going to have the discussion of gun control, it shouldn't be whether we have guns or not. It should be about, are there any logical, are there any statistics-based mm-hmm. decisions that could be made in regards to the type of guns mm-hmm. that we own
right.
and we can buy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, the guy in Parkland, he bought his assault rifle legally.
That's right. At 18.
Because our governor made a decision that said that at 18 you can buy an assault rifle.
You can't buy a handgun.
You can't buy a handgun yet because you have to be 21 to buy a handgun.
That's right.
But you can buy an assault rifle.
And that's where common sense, that defies all logic.
Right.
Okay. Why you can buy a military assault rifle
mm-hmm.
at 18 and you can't buy a handgun until you're 21 doesn't make sense to most people.
And I'm going to jump in because I know one of the arguments will be, what, 18, you can join the military. And in the military, you will be given, you will have this type of gun, this type of weapon. And so if you can do it through the military, then you can do it. You should be able to do it as a civilian.
And, however,
through the military, and yes, there are problems and there are people who get into the military who have their own issues.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, people who go into the military go through a tremendous amount of training before they are just allowed to have such a weapon at home. I mean, they go through, you know, basic training, and they go through all of that. That's very intensive. And they leave with an appreciation and understanding of these weapons that,
right.
you know, an 18-year-old doesn't have when he just decides to order one.
That's right.
Or purchase one at a gun shop.
They get one at some local store or mm-hmm. at a gun show, and they go out in the woods and start shooting things.
Right.
That's not basic training.
Right.
So to hand somebody a military assault rifle without the training is dangerous.
Yeah.
Short-sighted. Something.
Well, in the very least, it deserves the logical sort of civilized conversation
right.
about whether or not that should happen.
Right.
And again, because what we do when we start the idea, you know, I'm sure that people, when they saw the title of this podcast, Gun Control, you know, their heartbeat already started to increase, and mm-hmm. they already started to have their own views, and they were preparing to disagree or agree
right.
with what they anticipated us to say.
Right.
And again, you have to, for us to have a discussion, you can't do that.
Right.
You have to be willing to listen to both sides.
Right. There will be listeners who when they hear us say, you can't ban all guns, they're immediately going to be turned off. Well, they're going to be angry.
Right.
And they're going to say, well, I don't want to listen to this. They're this and they're that. No, what we're saying is that we're not going to get rid of all guns. People
right.
aren't just going to turn all their guns in
right.
and turn them into police. Some people will, some people have. Okay,
mm-hmm.
there have been programs that mm-hmm. people bring their guns in and mm-hmm. Police take care of them. That's not going to happen. So if we're going to have a discussion mm-hmm. about gun control, it has to be a reasonable discussion where what guns are we going to keep in circulation, and mm-hmm. are there guns that we're going to try to get out of circulation?
Right.
That seems to be a more reasonable argument.
Mm-hmm.
The other argument at this other extreme, you mentioned they're 18 years old and have mm-hmm. military training. And there are people who believe that the Second Amendment guarantees the right to own any gun you want.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And that's another discussion that we're going to have later in the week is
right.
let's talk about the Second Amendment. Because if you begin with this argument that every person should be able to have any gun you want,
mm-hmm.
That's, again, that's that other extreme that we need to talk about. Because how do you decide who shouldn't have one? And the NRA, National Rifle Association, has to become part of that discussion.
Right.
If everybody in the country has some fundamental right to have a weapon, mm-hmm. are there any individuals that you're going to exclude
right.
from that right?
Right.
I mean, where do you draw? You know, there are people in every state who are not permitted to drive a car.
Mm-hmm.
The state reserves that right.
Right.
Are there people who shouldn't own a gun?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's the difference?
Right.
You have to have a license to drive a car. You and I have to have a license to practice what we do.
Right.
Okay. So there are physicians, dentists, lawyers, all mm-hmm. have to be licensed. So these are privileges that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Guns don't occupy a separate special place, or they
right.
shouldn't.
Right.
Okay. They're too dangerous, and it requires some responsibility.
Right.
So I would ask the NRA to say, is there anyone who shouldn't own mm-hmm. a gun?
Right.
And are there individuals who shouldn't own assault rifles? And mm-hmm. that's a discussion that they need to be a part of.
Right. Yeah. Because, right, to get to a conclusion, everyone needs to be involved in the conversation.
That's right.
Those who are supportive of having guns and those who mm-hmm. are not.
That's right.
And we have to be able to have a discussion. Mm-hmm. And a discussion works from the premise that I'm going to present my mm-hmm. perspective and facts and, right. and everything. You present yours, and let's have a again, I'm going to use the word civilized again, though it doesn't always have a place in, right. in this discussion, but a civilized conversation mm-hmm. with critical thinking and with reason and with understanding right. mm-hmm. and with the idea that for us to get to a solution, we have to find some common ground.
That's right. And there's this famous line from the NRA that people use, guns don't kill people, people kill people.
Mm-hmm.
Or the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is to have a good guy with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guns are used to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they are. Guns do kill people.
Right.
People with guns kill people.
Well, and to me, the even if we wanted to say, you're right, guns don't kill people, people kill people, then let's have a discussion about who we're allowing to have a gun.
That's right. That goes back to that question.
Right.
So, okay, you, NRA, you tell me who shouldn't have one.
Right.
Okay? If,
yeah.
if it's only certain kinds of people,
right.
you tell me, you tell us as psychologists, how do we differentiate?
Right.
Don't ask us to do, I mean, you're asking us to do something. You tell us who shouldn't have one, and we'll find those people.
Right. Yeah, you can't ask us to do it, and then when we do it, say, oh, no, but you can't keep the guns out of it.
Because that's exactly what happened at right. the beginning of the Trump administration, when we said there are certain people who are incompetent. They can't even fill out their Social Security mm-hmm. papers. They can't take care of bank accounts. And the Obama administration said, these people shouldn't own guns, okay, if they can't
right.
do this. And President Trump signed a resolution 10 days after entering the White House that said, no, we don't have to do that. They did away with that law.
Mm-hmm.
So here's 75,000 people
mm-hmm.
who didn't qualify to get, now they qualify. Now
right.
all of a sudden, though they're incompetent to do their Social Security
mm-hmm.
information,
right.
it's okay for them to own a gun.
Right.
All we're saying is, you tell us who shouldn't,
right.
and we will find a way to, we will give you a, we will have a way to find those people.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell me who they are. Who
right.
shouldn't have it? Who
right.
Is there anybody in this country who shouldn't have an assault rifle? And don't say, yes, somebody who's mentally ill.
Right.
I can tell you right now, that's not going to do it, because there are people with mental illness, and having a gun is not going to change anything.
Right. Right. Yeah.
What were we talking about the other day? Somebody, different kinds of mental illness has nothing to do with gun ownership.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah. I mean, 50% of the population will qualify at some point in their life as having a mental illness,
right.
according to the new DSM.
Right.
So we certainly don't want to use that.
Right.
As our measuring tool. So.
Yeah. So and also, back to statistics.
Mm-hmm.
As it turns out, it has been discovered that of these mass shootings, only 7.5%, about 8% of them, were done by people with a mental illness.
Right.
And so let's be, you know, if you say those who are mentally ill, well, we're talking about less than 10%.
Right.
What about the other 92% of these shootings? How do we identify those people?
Right.
How do we identify the Las Vegas shooter who had, he had no history? So, but you go, but let's do that. I challenge the NRA or anybody else who's listening to this. You tell us who shouldn't own an assault rifle. Who would you eliminate?
Right.
Because right now, the way the laws are written, we don't eliminate anybody.
Right. And you know, again, with the mental illness, and we're going to talk about mental illness tomorrow. Right.
Separate category.
But, you know, the issue is that a lot of times we identify mental illness post hoc, afterwards. You know, afterwards they say, oh, well, this guy was really depressed, or, oh, this guy was really, you know, mentally unstable.
The Batman shooter.
Right.
Okay, there's one. He was a PhD candidate studying neuroscience at a major university. A little bit weird, but nobody would have. He wasn't identified as mentally ill till after the fact.
Right.
So let's be careful about that. We all have 20/20 hindsight.
Right.
You know, oh yes, he's mentally. Just because somebody is a mass shooter doesn't mean the person is mentally ill. I had a discussion. We had a discussion with a listener last week when we first started, when this discussion first started, and the listener said, "Well, no, anybody who does that is obviously mentally ill."
Right.
And I thought about it for a moment, and I said, wait a minute. The guys who flew the airplanes into the Twin Towers were not mentally ill.
Right.
They were religious zealots.
Right.
But they weren't mentally ill.
Right.
And so, you know, was Timothy McVeigh mentally ill when he drove the truck up to that building in
Oklahoma City?
Oklahoma, right. You know? Was he mentally ill? Did anybody know that he was mentally ill?
Right.
He was in the military.
Right.
And, nobody knew. We didn't know until afterwards, okay, after they blew up the building. They'd say, oh, he must be mentally ill.
Yeah.
So, yes, after the fact, perhaps, but it's very hard to predict.
Right.
You know,
right.
So, but those are the sorts of complicated discussions that we need to start having.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, all right, that's it for today. I hope daily podcasts are going to end up going a little bit longer than usual, I think. But there's just a lot to talk about with these. And again, we're just trying to present information so that it hopefully fosters a healthy conversation.
And we would ask anybody, and I think 70% of America's citizens want some type of gun control.
Okay? Right, something, yeah.
So I think most of us agree that some kind of control is necessary. We don't like the term because it starts to divide us, puts us in different camps. So what we ask is, let's not let this discussion be driven by the term gun control.
Right.
Let's find some new language so that we can find that middle ground. Right. And gun control is one end of the extreme. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's agree to not begin the discussion by saying, we do have to have some kind of control. But let's find a new vocabulary to talk to each other.
Absolutely. So, all right, that is it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid. Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you will find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening, have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.